No coastal bias here, baby. Hell no. Welcome to Drive Time to Russia. I like the little commercials we run about us. You know, it's a funny thing. Like, imagine if you, listener, had to write like a witty little commercial like about your family or something. That's your challenge. That's what I would like people to send me on the Odyssey app. We got that talkback feature right on the Odyssey app. So if you're listening on the app, you go to where you listen live, click on the microphone. For the next week, if you could send me your own little promotion, like what you would say about your family, right? Because that's what we do. Brad, our boss, sits in his little cave over there. His little office, his dungeon. I don't know. I try to stay out of the boss's office, you know. You know me, Dan. I'm not. Dan's in there all the time kissing up.
Excuse me?
Me?
Hello?
I'm never in that office.
Pardon me?
But, like, what would, if you had to say something about this show, Dan, like, what would your little commercial liner be for us? Right.
I have to give that some thought.
No coastal bias.
Yeah, that probably wouldn't be it.
Not even tough. I don't know. What is the, I sort of know what the coastal bias is. We know, like, the New York bias, the East Coast bias, the liberal bias. I don't know. All right, welcome to Drive. I was just very distracted by that promotion. Sometimes it's Friday. Sometimes that happens. I got a question for you as we approach this weekend, where so much news coverage has been focused on the 5-year point since George Floyd was killed. And here in Minnesota, our lives have changed. The way policing is done changed. The conversation about policing has changed. There had been considerable conversation about racism as well, with book groups, kind of, you know, groups of people reading books about this stuff, offices forming, money being pledged. My question is pretty simple. Are we better today than we were 5 years ago? 651-461-9226. The question's intentionally broad. Usually I try to be really specific. Are we better at policing? Are we better when it comes to race relations? Are we better when it comes to just the vibes of our community? Are we better? Because in the aftermath, after George Floyd was killed, there was so much conversation, and I remember that morning like it was yesterday. I remember waking up at 2:30 in the morning, checking my phone, and seeing in my email an email from the Minneapolis police that talked about someone who had died because of a, quote, medical incident. And then I remember seeing the video that Darnella Frazier took. Bravely took a teenager who kept rolling when all of that was going on. And I remember distinctly all of the pledges to be better. And I've been thinking about this a lot. If we are better than we were 5 years ago. Alex is in St. Paul. You're first up on the CCO Talk and Text Line. Alex, thanks for listening, and thanks for weighing in on this. Do you think we're better than we were at this point 5 years ago?
I would say better probably isn't the right word. I think we've made a lot of progress. I'm biracial, so I identify as a Black woman because that's what society typically sees me as. My husband is white. I have interracial children. I think that there are a lot of steps that have been taken for people in certain communities that have really tried to increase their awareness and their knowledge around other groups' experiences.
Yeah.
However, I think that I think with our social political climate, we have taken steps back then I think we were doing really good, you know, a year, 2 years ago. And I think some of that momentum has been lost.
Yeah.
I think I've experienced a lot of external, like, outward racism, as opposed to where, yes, we have, you know, we do have it, but it was more microaggressions or hush-hush.
I want you to tell me a little more about that, Alex, because I really appreciate your perspective on that. I have wondered, because we see the comments, and you definitely feel like a shifting as you see corporations step back from publicly talking about their DEI. I wondered if that has manifested itself, like, in your daily life.
Absolutely. So, and it's not just here in Minnesota. I have family that is in Ohio and in Indiana, and they have KKK walking their streets actively. And as far as here in Minnesota, like I said, I have interracial children. My children are white passing. And I've been in situations at Target where I've had women try to accost me and literally remove me from my child because they could just not believe that I birthed this human. I think it has emboldened, and I've had the cops called on me for similar situations. And a lot of, like, the, you know, conversations that I've had in the past, and I'm a social worker, so a lot of the conversations that I've had previously, I've watched as, like, the way that those have gone have become more hostile and, you know, sometimes violent. Whereas before we could try to find, you know, some middle ground, people are just very firm in their stance. And I think they feel emboldened to act in certain ways, whereas before they would keep, you know, those kinds of things to themselves. Now we kind of are free to talk about those things, whether it's police brutality, black on black crime, which, let's be honest, all, white people commit crimes at the same rate. And in fact, white people are convicted of crimes, at a slightly higher rate than black people. Black people are charged with crimes at a higher rate, but they are not convicted. So a lot of the nuance and understanding and kind of the propaganda and the way that the media portrays certain things, I think hasn't shifted very much from George Floyd. And I think that perpetrates some of the people who were once not allowed to speak freely on how they truly feel. Now they feel like they can.
Alex, I wonder sometimes if things would be different if COVID wasn't going on at the same time. Because we had
100%.
This, you know, we had that with COVID going on. We did have this increase in crime and the fact that, like, cities were sort of abandoned. So it felt awkward. It felt bad. And I wonder, like, if we still had the same active going to work, busy community that we had in 2019, would we be in a different spot today? I don't know. I think sometimes, like, the rioting that happened gets blamed for everything when a lot of it was really because we were abandoned during COVID.
Yes, I agree. I 100% agree with that. I also think a lot of we've shifted issues into it having being a race, you know, a racial political issue instead of it being an American issue, right? We are seeing declines in education rates and graduation rates. That has negatively affected specifically the black community substantially because obviously we are, higher tax paying cities get more governmental funding, things like that. But all children are suffering in school right now. And I think with COVID, I definitely think that that impacted the black and brown community. And we haven't really seen a shift or a change in as far as the education system, as far as, you know, and that also perpetuates crime, especially for high school students. If you don't have safe spaces, I know Jordana spoke with Tommy this morning, and having those safe spaces where teens and young adults are able to be at allows for, you know, safe spaces mean that less crime is happening, right? If you're not out on the out on the street, you're in a safe space. You're not, you know, carjackings and all of these things have been on an uptick, and I definitely think that that stems from a lack we did really great after, right? We have all of these businesses and all of these companies supporting and saying, yes, we're going to change. And then very little was done to continue, right? And it's a continuation of a process. It can't just be, we're going to do this right now. It has to be, we have to keep up the momentum because that's where we see change, you know?
Alex, really good. I'm glad you called. Thank you. Thank you so much. That's Alex. Let's get to Dan. And lots of texts coming in, too, at 651-461-9226. Dan, do you think we're in better shape? Are we better in any way than we were 5 years ago?
Jason, I'd honestly have to say absolutely not. And I think what it stems from is, I'm going to have to say it, the current administration is so hateful to its own people and the rest of the world that I think everybody is living in a state of fear, anxiety, tenseness in every way, shape, and form. And if you really look at history, I think what we're doing is we are repeating history of the early 1940s, when we have an administration that is going after the judicial system, wanting to take over the arts, wanting to bash the media. I think every American, average American, is just living in this bubble of tenseness. I would honestly have to say no.
Do you think, Dan, though, that we overreact a little bit to the immediate political scenario and maybe miss the fact that, consider, when it comes to policing, almost every police department has body cameras now, which is an incredible improvement in accountability. And video gets released a lot quicker. And I think a lot of us have a greater understanding about some of the inequalities that are out there that we didn't have before. I just wonder sometimes that we expect in 5 years that, like, when people said they were going to change things and things were going to be better, that we're going to somehow erase 100 years of problems in 5 years. That wasn't realistic. But I do think in many ways we have seen a considerable improvement than where we were at 5 years ago.
I will agree with you on the policing and the body camera issue. Right? Yeah. I will 100% agree on that. But when you boil it down to the average person that goes to work and punches that clock every day and drives home, which I am doing now, it's just, you hear this news and you just think, what is going on?
Yeah.
You know, like with this Harvard thing, okay?
Right. Right. I get that for sure, Dan. Thank you. You know, I understand that, too, that for people. Look, there are a lot of people that support exactly what the Trump administration is doing. But if you don't, it is a deluge of, like, oh, my gosh, now this, now that, now that. We're talking about 5 years after the death, the murder of George Floyd. Are we better? Some news today that's a little discouraging from the neighborhood right across the street from the 3rd Police Precinct. I'll talk about that when we come back. Drive Time with DeRusha. When you ask Americans, has the increased focus on race after George Floyd's killing led to improvements for black Americans? 72% say no. 27% say yes. Now, in the moments or the months after the killing, 52% said they thought it would lead to changes. So that 52 went to 27. I think some of that is early unreasonable optimism and late exaggerated pessimism. The arc of history is long. And progress, we want it to be so fast. What I think is very interesting is the focus on race. Both Democrats and Republicans today, in much larger numbers, say it's not been helpful to the overall goal of having all Americans do well. I think it's very interesting. I would expect a lot more conversation going forward about income, so helping out poor people. People who don't have the same economic opportunities, less conversation about race. And some of that is because we are delusional as a country. We believe as Americans in this idea that if you work hard enough, you can do it. And you can trot out the self-made entrepreneur, and you can trot out this person who achieved that, came bootstrapped their way through the system. We do not like to acknowledge that sometimes the deck is stacked against you. The House always wins, and in this country forever, the House has been essentially white guys. And we don't like to deal with that. And so if you care about results, which I do, then you got to figure out a different way to talk about it. You got to figure out a different way to talk about it. Americans, overwhelmingly, we have decided that the focus on race means that someone else is winning and I'm losing, that it's a zero-sum game. And so I would expect more of a focus on how do we raise everyone up? How do we create more economic opportunities? Now, part of the problem, and I, as I said in the last segment, I do think things are better. I do think we are better. I know I think about issues more differently. In a different way today than I did 5 years ago. I've been exposed to a lot of people, like Alex, who called in with her perspective. And it's been helpful for me. When you hear other people's experiences and see how different they are from yours, I think that's really helpful. I think that there's been a lot of progress. Policing today, no, it's not perfect, but boy, here in the Twin Cities, it's much better. Now, at the same time, we have a lot fewer police. That's a step backwards. So we have all these things going on. Today, Dunord, remember Dunord cocktail? So they made vodka and rum and spirits right near the 3rd Police Precinct. Well, during the riots, smoke from a nearby fire set off the sprinkler system and destroyed much of their stuff. Well, they reopened a cocktail room and a restaurant in the building right across from the 3rd Police Precinct. And just about 2 hours ago, they announced that they were closing at the end of the month, that they didn't get enough business, that they wanted to help lead a revitalization of the east end of Lake Street, but they couldn't do it. The results weren't what they wanted. And to me, I think it's obvious why it didn't work out, because no one wants to go out to lunch or dinner across the street from a police precinct that's still boarded up. No one wants to go hang out in a neighborhood where there are big open spaces of empty grass from buildings that were burned down. As a city, we have failed this part of our community. We have failed by dithering on what to do with the precinct. We have failed by not jumpstarting development and incentivizing people to get things done in that neighborhood. We have failed. And Dunord stood up and said, we're going to be first. We're going to try it. And I give them so much credit for trying. But we weren't ready for it. I hope in the next 5 years, we can build these neighborhoods back up, because they have been let down by us. Not by us for not going to the restaurant, but by us as a city, as a state, as a country, for not helping people get back on their street. We'll have more coverage of this for sure throughout the weekend. Appreciate everybody's text as well. 333. Let's break. When we come back, our newest, most popular feature, Dan Cook geeks out. Dan is going to geek out about a subject that almost certainly he is the only person listening who cares.
What?
But you get to vote. Are you giving Dan the green light to keep going, to share what he thinks, or are you hitting the gong? Are you over it? Do you want Cook to stop? We will gong him or green light as Dan geeks out in just a minute.
Start the clock. Dan Cook now has 3 minutes to geek out on something. And you get to text in with a vote on whether it's halfway interesting or if the topic should never again be brought up in public. Again.
Nerd alert!
Let's set things up for this edition of Dan Geeks Out.
See, I object to the use of the term halfway interesting because this is really interesting. Dan, why are we limiting? People could find this stuff very interesting. Why are we just giving this?
I mean, it's unlikely. It's unlikely.
Halfway interesting nonsense.
Dan pitched three or four. I don't know. I stopped listening.
Yeah, you did. I could tell.
Yeah. So Dan has a topic here that he tried to tell me about.
Yeah, because it's really interesting.
I'm sure.
I don't think you are sure.
I
think you're very unsure.
You at 651-461-9226. I already have cast my vote. Gong. But it's up to you, gong or green light.
How can you cast your vote when you just got done saying that you don't know what it is I'm going to be talking about?
Well, your pre-discussion of it.
I think you're offering undue influence onto the audience.
All right, well,
and
then
put
they
your
have
finger
to,
on the scale.
They have to come in and vote. 651-461-9226. Gong or green light. Dan Cook, your 3 minutes starts now.
It is peak Milky Way season, Jason. Now, you know one of my recent obsessions, one of the things that I'm geeking out about is stargazing.
Right.
I have several telescopes now, love going outside on a clear night and looking at the beauty that is the cosmos. But for the next about week and a half or so, you're not going to even need a telescope to go out and see the wonder of God's creation in the night skies, because we're going to be in this new moon period during the period where it's easiest to see the Milky Way galaxy across your sky. Now, you may be asking, but Dan, we're in the Milky Way. How are we seeing the Milky Way? That's like saying looking up in the sky and seeing Earth when we're standing on the Earth. Oh, no. Because where we are in the Milky Way galaxy, Jason, is in one of the spiral arms. So we can see towards the center of the galaxy. And it is, if you've never been in a dark sky situation and seen the Milky Way in the night sky, it is one of the most wondrous things you can ever possibly see in the natural world.
So we're geeking out about the Milky Way.
Yes, the galaxy. We're talking about 400 billion stars. 400 billion of our suns.
Do you want Dan to continue talking about this, or do you want to hit the gong? 651-461-9226. Continue.
It is the beauty of creation. When you're out there, now here's what you need to do.
Okay.
You need to go find some place away from light pollution. Get outside the 694-494 loop. Get somewhere outside of there where you can find low light pollution. State parks are a great spot for
it. That's one green light.
There you go. State parks are a great spot for this. Get out into those dark sky areas. You're going to look to the north and east. And across that whole stretch of sky, maybe after 10 o'clock, if you can get closer to midnight, that's when the skies will be really at their darkest. We're going to be in this new moon period. New moon is Monday. So there won't be any light coming from the moon. Come on. It's gorgeous. All you got to do is look to the horizon. If you have a nice pair of binoculars, that's great too. This really isn't a telescope target, although there'll be plenty of great things to see with your telescope as well. But the Milky Way, you don't need a telescope for that. Binoculars are kind of cool, but you can just look up at the night sky and see the wonder of creation paint. It is like looking at a painting if you get to a dark sky spot.
Wow. The green lights are coming in
like
crazy
here. The people are with me because this is, if you've ever seen this, honestly, take the time. I mean, now look, peak Milky Way season goes from like, you know, March to, I think it's September.
When you say peak Milky Way season, yeah. You're not talking about the candy bar.
No, I'm not talking about the candy bar. Because you can generally, at some point on the globe, obviously, you can see this core of the galaxy pretty much all year round. But in the northern hemisphere, it's really between March and September. And we're hitting this period of time where it's really at its peak here in March, along with the combination of this new moon period. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be awesome.
He ain't no Neil deGrasse Tyson, but it's interesting.
No, I'm not. I mean, he has a physics doctorate, and I don't. So I have a master's that's in nothing even remotely connected to physics. So
Joe from Egan says, while it wouldn't take much to have a better topic than Jason, green light, green light, green light.
Thanks, Joe.
Green light.
That seems
green
a little light. Backhanded in its complimentary status.
I'll take it.
I'm not going to lie. I'll take it.
Another green light? Another green light.
See, they're with me, Jason. They're with me. You gonged me before you even knew what I was going to be talking about.
Well, this texter says gong. Seems like he talked about this recently. Yeah. Like it all sort of blends together, doesn't it? We're talking about space, stars.
I was talking about space recently, but it had nothing to do with our galaxy. It was a planet that may have had life on it, and now scientists don't think it actually does. So that's a whole other topic.
Now, the other peak Milky Way, when I think about that, I picture like a blonde lady.
See, why do you have to... Why? I mean, we're trying to do, you know, a family-friendly radio show, and you just got to take it right into the gutter.
Yeah. I just greenlit myself for that. That happens during peak Milky Way season. Yeah.
I didn't know you could do that on the radio. Do I have to hit the dump button?
Another green light. People love the green light. Can you mix in a little Interstellar? Another texter, Dan, you know the legislator passed legislation on the state constellation?
I did see that. I did see that they want to make the Little Dipper our state constellation. I only assume that's because the Polaris, the North Star, is in the Little Dipper, and that's part of the state logo and, you know, that all that sort of stuff.
I thought they wanted Ursa Minor,
which is the Little Dipper.
Oh.
That's the name of the Little Dipper. So
I thought it was the Little Bear. It's the Little Dipper.
Well, it's the Dippers are part of Ursa Major and Ursa Minor, which are bigger bear-like constellations, but they're in the constellation part of it. So,
all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Green light Dan beats Jason's bloviating. What do you guys think this show is? All right. This show is my bloviating. That's the deal.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah. Would be better if I had a gummy,
yes,
says a texter.
Oh, my. That's, you know.
Fair. The gong's lost. Yeah, the green lights carried it.
Just saying.
The people get to choose.
They do.
I, as the host, get 5 votes.
Right. And the gong still lose.
And the gong's lost.
Yes, they did.
So what's the bottom line of this? Could you bottom
the
line?
The bottom line is if you for some reason need an excuse to get outside.
Right.
And stop worrying about the day-to-day and the stress of life, and you just want to be taken in by the beauty of creation,
yep,
this is a reason to do that. Because you can get outside, you can find a dark sky area, you can look up and see, literally, as I said, billions of stars, along with dust, along with gas, that makes this enormous galaxy that we're a part of, that then is one of billions and billions and billions and billions of galaxies in the known universe.
How's it going to be? Is the weather going to be all right for this?
Well, clouds might be a little dicey. But again, with the new moon, you got to be a little patient. Hopefully get to a good area. Mm. You know, you take your chances with Ma Nature on this one, but I'm telling you, it's worth it. It's worth the attempt.
I mean, there is a good chance that for me...
I'm sorry, I just read another text. That's so good.
Galaxy talk greater than hating Paige Becker.
That was good. That wasn't the one I was giggling at, but yeah, that is also very good.
I think this topic is more for the outdoor lover. Sorry, Jason, the truth hurts.
I mean, there is that.
Maybe next week he can explain the Dewey Decimal.
That's
system.
The one.
Well, this has been Gong or Greenlight. Dan geeks out. Very nice.
Thank you.
Another victory for you, so congratulations.
Keep racking them up.
All you have succeeded is making me hungry for a Milky Way.
Well,
it's an underrated.
If that's all I've done, I still take that as a positive.
Underrated candy bar. In a minute, Ilhan Omar taking heat for not answering a reporter's question. I have gone from being irritated at the congresswoman for this, but my opinion has changed on that. I'll tell you why next. So the headlines and the social media reaction was harsh, ripping on Ilhan Omar for refusing to condemn the murders of 2 Israeli embassy staffers. These 2 young staff, just awful. These shootings outside the Jewish Museum are awful. Here is a Fox News reporter coming up to Congresswoman Omar.
Congresswoman Omar,
can
I get your reaction to the shooting that happened in D.C. last night?
I'm going to go for now.
I'm going to go for now, she says. We saw a week or so ago when another reporter from a right-wing newspaper came up to Ilhan Omar And she told him to F off. I don't care for that. And Ilhan Omar is bothered on a daily basis by reporters, by people with cameras trying to get like a viral moment. And at a certain point, she decided, I'm just not talking to those folks. And it's hard to blame her. Now, if she doesn't want to talk to the Star Tribune or if she doesn't want to talk to us, I think that's a problem. But in today's environment, honestly, she condemned it on a post on social media. I don't blame her. That's all I'm saying. I don't blame her for not talking to the right wing journalists. Should she talk to Fox News? I wish she would have. It's not that hard to say this is awful. This is not what we stand for. But I don't blame her either.